Well, if you're turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, I'd like to read a passage that we actually read 2 weeks ago when I looked at mothers. And I'd like to read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 to 29. Starting at verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Now why does he do this? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." So that's a verse that we looked at when we concentrated on mothers. And I wanted to continue to look at this theme, but branch out from just mums this evening. I thought it would be appropriate for us. You know, we often think that we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, we're not able, and we think God could surely never use me in any fashion. Not in a big way, not in a little way. And if you have that mentality and you think that way, well, then I'm here to tell you that you are the perfect candidate that God is looking for to use in some special way. And so don't think that's going to rule you out of being used by God. In fact, God sees that attitude and says, "Now you're the person that I'm looking for." And we see a wonderful picture of this and how God used something that you would never associate as being able to be used in any great way in the Old Testament in the life of Moses. And so I would like you to turn to Exodus chapter 4 if you could. And although Moses himself would be a perfect example of this, God called Moses to do a great work to deliver his people from Egypt. And even though Moses didn't think he could do it, even though he didn't think that he could speak well enough to do it, or that anyone would really listen to him, God was able to use Moses in a wonderful way. And so we could take Moses and use him as an example of what we read here in the New Testament. But it's not Moses himself that I want us to look at tonight. I want to look at what was in the hand of Moses. And so tonight our message is called "Any Rod Will Do." Any Rod Will Do. Now, if your name is Rod, you probably think God is really speaking to you. But it's not any Rodney will do. We're talking about a rod in regards to a stick being a rod. But we read in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 this. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Just to give you a little bit of a picture, Moses is out in the wilderness. He's been there for 40 years. He probably thinks that no one knows where he is and no one cares about him. He's off the map completely, basically. And then he's minding his own business and he sees this bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed. And he thought, I'd better go and check that out. That's very interesting. When he gets there, God speaks to him. And then God says that he is going to use him to deliver his people out of Egypt. And Moses would have understood that that's not like smuggling 5 or 10 people out. There are millions involved in this. And Moses was overwhelmed by what God said. He didn't think that he was capable of doing this. "This is beyond my capacity," he was thinking, as God explained his plans to him. And as we see here, he said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" He said he didn't consider himself as being anyone important that Pharaoh would listen to. And he thought no one would believe him, that he comes out 40 years in the wilderness and said, this is what God says, who on earth is going to believe me at this stage? And you know, at this point, God could have opened up the heavens and revealed his glory to Moses and saw the might of the angels in heaven and said, why are you afraid? Look what's going to go with you. God could have done that, but he didn't. God could have said, well, don't worry, Moses, I don't really need you anyway. And he could have wiped out all the Egyptian soldiers, anyone in authority, and let the Israelites go. But he didn't do that either. Or he could have, like, zapped Moses and made him taller than Goliath and huge muscles and given him great strength like Samson and wisdom like Solomon. He could have just endowed him with everything that a person could have so he was great and mighty and strong and so on. But he didn't do that else either. What he did do was he said to Moses, Moses, what's that in your hand? And I think Moses probably didn't even think about what's in his hand at first. He looks down and says, well, that's my rod. That's all he had, was his rod. A big stick, probably a shepherd's crook or something like that. But he says, I have a rod. And I think it's good to remember that it wasn't any special rod either. Now, Moses didn't sit down every night with his big stick or rod and say, you know, one day you're going to do great things for God. You know, we like to say that maybe to our children or to ourselves, but he's not saying, one day God is going to use you in a mighty way, Mr. Rod. He didn't do that. Or it wasn't like a rod that came down from heaven where it just dropped out of the sky and said, wow, this is a rod from God. So this is amazing. It wasn't made of ivory or gold or anything like this. This was just a simple stick out of the wilderness that he saw, grabbed and used and was just so happened to be holding that day. But the reality is, with God, any rod will do. It wasn't as though he just got the right one in the wilderness that could do the job. He could have just used, if he had just broken that one and just got a brand new one, he could have used that. But God can use anything to bring glory to himself. And the Lord decided to show this man who didn't have the confidence within himself to do what God had called him to do, who made up excuses for not doing what God would have him to do, and God was going to show him that he had the ability to use anyone or anything. Even a piece of wood in the hands of a servant of, in regards to Moses. And that's what I want us to consider and realize tonight, and that is, regardless of how you may feel about yourself, God can use you in many ways. Any way, really. But in the ways particularly that he has chosen to use you, he has gifted you, and the way his plans are for you. Now, what I do want you to notice is that the first thing that God required from this rod that was in the hand of Moses is that it was to be cast to the ground. Have a look there. God said in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. That was the first request that he gave. He didn't say, well, now that you got that rod, I want you to hold it up so I can send some lightning down and make it special. Or God didn't say, look, I'm going to change it so it's just perfect for me to use. Or I want you to sit there and I want you to clean it and make it as beautiful as possible. No, the first thing that God wanted him to do was to cast it down to the ground, which is a beautiful picture of humility, really, being cast down to the ground. And if we want God to use us in any fashion or form, we need to be willing to humble ourselves in the sight of God first and foremost. And the first and the greatest way that we need to do that is in humbling ourselves, understanding that we need His forgiveness and salvation that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that are never going to be used by God because they will not humble themselves in the sight of God, admitting that they are a sinner and they need salvation. For some, they're too proud to admit they've done anything wrong. Or they may know it, but they're not willing to do it, that they need God's help. They're too proud to ask for God's help. And many know their need, but they are too proud to do so. But the first step in salvation is that we humble ourselves in the sight of God and say, I can't save myself. I can't do anything or add to anything that you have done. I have to rely completely on the work that Jesus did on that cross. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and cleanse me, knowing that Jesus did all the work for me. That's where the humbling begins. You know, when Jesus met Zacchaeus, that proud rich man, and he met him up in a tree, first thing he said to Zacchaeus is, come down and fellowship with me. If Zacchaeus was too proud to come down, he would never have spent time with Jesus, and he would never have received the Lord Jesus as his Savior and enjoyed forgiveness. And there are many who never get saved because they refuse to come down, so to speak. Come down from their high horse, their proud look, and admit that they are wrong and they need help from God above. But humility doesn't begin and end at salvation. Because if we ever hope to be used by God, that humility needs to continue. And when we have humbled ourselves, we need to stay down and remain humble. Sadly, for some people, when they get saved, when they stand up and they puff themselves up and they start to feel good about themselves and they look around and think of how much better they are from everybody else. And the pride comes within them. And you can see it by the way they talk about the unsaved and the sinner, as though they've never sinned or they were never in that despicable state themselves. Yet God says, humble yourself in the sight of God, and then he shall lift you up. And the reason why some are never used and nothing really comes of them is because they're not willing to humble themselves. They're not willing to humble themselves before God. They're not willing to humble themselves before man. I'm not going to submit to a local church. I'm not going to submit to authority. I'm not going to let others tell me what to do. I am my own man. I'm going to do whatever I want. And they are often too busy wanting to make a name for themselves. And because of that, God never actually uses them in any way. And there are many who have great gifts, so much talent, and it all comes from God one way or another. And they have immense potential, but before the Lord will ever use them, they first need to humble themselves. I will submit to God's authority. I will submit to God's authority over me in a local church. I will submit to those within the church. And once a person is like that, then God is able to use them. But some never will. And so they never really get to be used. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, talking about the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you think of the mind of Christ and having the mind of Christ, there are so many things you think that must mean. Like, I must have a pure mind because his mind was pure. I must have a loving mind because he was loving. But the interesting thing is, this passage is talking, when it's talking about the mind of Christ, as being humble like he is. It goes on to say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And it goes on to say, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so when it's talking about we need to have the mind of Christ, one of the most Christ-like mentalities that we can have is to have a humble attitude and thought, where we don't think that we're above anyone or above anything, but we are willing to do whatever it takes for God to use us. And sadly, there are many Christians who know the Word of God. They know what's right and they know what's wrong. They have a pure life in many ways, but humility escapes them. They think they are good and special. And sadly, because of that, God can't or chooses not to use them. Maybe they're too busy trying to make a reputation for themselves. They're too busy to try and gain praise for others. Maybe they're too proud to take on a form that they feel is below them. Yes, Lord, if you call me to the mission field and someone will write a great book about me and all the adventures, I'm there. But if you want me to like pack up the books at the end of church, well, that is something for someone else. And those who have been around long enough, you would say that is something for Kyle Evers, all right? And not me, right? Or we might say, Lord, I am willing and I am able to be a leader in a ministry. But don't ask me to be a helper. That's for somebody else. And if we have the mind of Christ, nothing is too low for us to be able to do. We need to be cast down like that rod, first of all, if we want to be used by God. And notice what happened when it was cast down. Verse 3. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled before it. Now, let's not go into why he made it a serpent, but the reality is he took a stick and he transformed it into a snake. That is amazing. He changed that rod into something amazing. And the reality is, Moses didn't change it. The stick didn't change itself. God changed it. And that is what God is able to do when someone humbles themselves in his sight. He's able to take anybody and he's able to change them into something wonderful. And when someone gets saved and they remain humble, God changes them. The pastor doesn't change them. Their parents don't change them. They don't even change themselves. God goes to work fashioning them into the image of Christ. He does that work. It's very exciting when you see someone get saved and you see God change them. And it's just as exciting when not just change from the old life to the new life, it's just as exciting when you see someone humble themselves in the sight of God and he uses them in ways that you never thought was possible for God to use them. But that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to transform us into something so that he can use us. And this is just a humble, this is no pride, this is just humbly expressing what God has done. You are looking at a transformed person. If you knew me when I was young, God has done an amazing transformation. And for you, you're probably thinking, well, I hope he hasn't finished, right? And I hope he hasn't finished either. I'm hoping that he will continue to transform me into the image of Christ. And that will happen if I continue to humble myself, that nothing is below me, that I'm willing to do whatever he asks or suggests. And then he can. And he wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for each one of us. He wants to change us. And God used this rod to show Moses that he has the power to change and to use anything. And so God used that rod to be an encouragement to him. That simple rod was used to be an encouragement. And it's interesting that often when the Lord used Moses in some way, that rod was always by his side. And I can't help but wonder if he did that so that when Moses was going out to do something that God had asked him to do, and in his own head he's thinking, I can't do this, this is beyond me, he at least had that reminder of the rod and thought, no, if he can change and use this stick, surely he can also use and change me. And so he had that as a constant encouragement. And you know, when you are allowing God to transform you and change you, you can be a constant encouragement to others. Wow, look what God can do. You want to be used by God? Humble yourself, let him use you and change you, and you can be a blessing to others just by showing others that God can change and use people. That is an act of encouragement. So you can be used to encourage others. But notice if you turn over to chapter 7, verse 10. It says, we see that the Lord uses another rod. In chapter 7, verse 10, it says, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and behold, his servants, and it became a serpent. And so any rod will do. It didn't have to be the one Moses had. He can change any rod. And this time it was Aaron's rod cast down in front of Pharaoh and all of his people. And what happened? It was transformed into a serpent. And this time it was showing the godless the power of God. That rod or a rod was used to show God's power. When it was transformed for Moses, it encouraged him that he can use anyone. Now it was a rod was used to rebuke the sinners, showing that God is all-powerful. And you know, one of the greatest testimonies that we can be, and one of the greatest ways that we can be used, is by allowing God to use us so the ungodly, the unsaved, see that God changes people. Oftentimes, it's not going to be our words that convince people. It'll be a changed life. That's why when I've led young people to the Lord who come from an unsaved family, first thing I tell them is, now don't go home and start preaching to your parents. Let them see a difference, a changed life. That'll be the greatest way to testify and be an example. And then they will ask you what has happened when they see the change. That's the greatest testimony that we can have for the lost. And this is one way the Lord can use all of us. We can be a testimony to the unsaved of how God changes lives. You might think, how can God ever use me? What sort of thing that can I do? Well, think, if you humble yourself, you allow God to start transforming you and you obey what he says, then that teacher at school is going to know that you're different and wonder why. Or that friend at school, or that workmate, or even your unsaved family, they're going to say, there is something different about them, and they will know that it is of God. God changes people. How can God use me? By being a rebuke or a challenge to the lost. of how he wants to change them, just like he's changed you. Now, that's not the only time or way that this God used a rod to bring glory to himself. The Lord also used the rod of Moses to bring down judgment on the godless. Now, there's quite a few, but it usually came with the various plagues, the 10 plagues. Let me read just a few. In chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned blood." And so Moses took the rod, hit the river, and it turned to blood. God used that rod to bring down judgment. In chapter 8, verse 5, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt." Can you believe there's someone here that hasn't stopped turning their phone on silent? Goodness gracious. There's only one person to blame. Anyway, he used the rod once again. Chapter 8, verse 16, "And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod." So he's using Aaron's rod, or he's using Moses' rod. "And smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt." And so we see that any rod will do, but he used the rod to bring down judgment. Now, how does God use us in that way? Well, we saw this morning how he used his people to bring down judgment in a very severe way with Saul and the armies. I'm so glad that God doesn't call us to do that today. That's scary and hard. But he does use us to judge and to rebuke the godless. You know, just living a humble, godly life will bring a rebuke to the godless. You know, it might just mean we share a word of God and God uses that to rebuke them. It might be we respond in a way that they can see that it's godly and it rebukes them. It might be we refuse to act in a certain way and it brings rebuke. Our life can be a rebuke. Now, if our life is exactly the same as theirs and they see no difference, there will be no rebuke. But if you humble yourself and allow God to use you and change you, they will see a difference. And it will be like a piercing in their heart that there is something different and my life is full of sin. And that's another way that God used a rod to bring down judgment. What about when they escaped Egypt and they were in that awful predicament, soldiers coming up, the sea in front of them, and there were the mountains beside? What happened then? In chapter 14 and verse 16 it says, "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And so right there, what did Moses have to do? He had to lift up his rod. That rod was used to bring a way of escape. And sometimes that's how God wants to use you. Help people to show them the way to go. It could be an unsaved person and say, "This is the way to escape eternal damnation." God uses you to show them the way of escape. It could be by showing someone or giving someone a word of comfort, or helping them in some way, or bringing guidance by the word of God. Sometimes we think, well, the way God uses us is being the spectacular, but sometimes, or oftentimes, more than most times, it can be just a simple word of comfort or wisdom in guiding someone in the right direction. And God will use you in those ways if you're allowed to. You know, sometimes people will say to me, "I remember years ago at youth group, you said such and such, and it really helped me." And I think to myself, I usually say it inside, I cannot remember ever saying that. In fact, I can't believe that I would have said that. That's amazing. Where did that come from? And I'm thinking, that is way beyond my intelligence to think of anything like that. And sometimes I think maybe they got it wrong, or someone else they heard and they just thought I said it. But sometimes God is just able to prompt you to say the right thing at the right time when you're willing to be there for him. You know, another way that we can be used is to be a refreshing and an encouragement to someone. You know, in chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thine hand, and go." And so make sure you don't forget that rod. Verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And so that rod was used to smite the rock to bring forth water and refreshment at that time. And sometimes God uses us to be an encouragement to others, to be that refreshment to others. You know, when people are around you, do they go away feeling refreshed, encouraged, or do they go away having been bombarded with negative attitudes, negative speech, slandering others, criticizing others, and they go away feeling, when you go away, they feel dirty after you've been with them? Or do they feel encouraged and refreshed? That's how you can be used if you allow God to do it. And then one more, and we actually looked at this morning. In Exodus 17:9 it says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in thine hand." Here the rod was a picture of prayer, lifting up to God our request. And sometimes the way that God can use us is we get before God and we pray for people. And sometimes we need other people to help us to pray for one another. But we can be used in a mighty way. And who knows, when we pray, God acts and things change that would not have changed. Wouldn't it be a blessing when you get to heaven? I don't know if he does this, but if God sits us down, we've got a long time there. But he sits us down and he goes through all those Wednesday night prayer meeting times where you go, you're tired, it's cold or it's hot, and you're hungry and you don't really want to be there, but you want to go and pray to the God of heaven with fellow believers. Wouldn't it be good if God sat you down and said, "Let me tell you all the times when your prayer changed things. You know that time when you didn't really want to go, it was cold, but you end up going, and you sat with such and such and such and such, and you prayed for this? You know, I was listening and I heard that prayer. And I wanted to show that you were good, you were doing the right thing, and I acted and I worked in that way. That missionary was encouraged because of your prayer. That person, I supplied their needs because you asked for it at that time." Wouldn't it be good if he sat through every Wednesday night prayer time and told us what was fulfilled through that? Oh, that would be an encouragement, wouldn't it? I hope we get to do that. That's what I'd love. But nonetheless, I want to at least know if I get to heaven, God would say, "Thank you for being faithful in seeing the importance of prayer and gathering together and praying on the behalf of others. Thank you for doing that." That would be enough, but I'd love to have the sit down and go through. But there are ways that we can be used by the Lord. And so if you don't think you're very special, you don't think you're very strong or wise or important, well, you're the one that God's looking for. And he wants to show, by transforming you, he wants to use you to be an encouragement to others that he can transform. He wants to use your transformed life to show the unsaved that he can transform them. He wants to show through your holy life to rebuke them of their sin and their need for a salvation. He wants you to be a refreshment to others. He wants you to also pray for others. He wants to use you in lots of ways. That's a blessing. It all starts by knowing him as your Lord and Savior and then humbly seeking him. And as it says there in James, as I have here, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. He'll lift you up like that rod was lifted up and use you in various ways. I trust when we get to heaven we'll be able to be encouraged by seeing all the ways God did use us when we didn't think he was. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you're able to take dirty, worthless sticks that are found in the wilderness. And Lord, change us and use us for your glory. And that you use us in this manner so that we can't boast in ourselves, but Lord, all glory will go to yourself. Thank you. Please use me. Please use each one of us in Golden City Baptist Church, Lord, that we would be rods that would be transformed and used to bring glory to your name. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.